Can I just, you should add to the list also just general like exclamations like
Speaking of
kerplunk
exclamations,
or
kerplunk.
kerplunk or oof or like the different kinds of oh shit category type
Yeah,
words.
thinking
now I'm
about
thinking of
that
Schoolhouse
too.
Rock as
I
well.
mean, I don't know. Have you done like expletives that are not, you know, they're
Like fake
not
swears.
deleted. Fake.
Yeah, fake. Well, and is there a possibility that there's overlap where something is a swear in some place and isn't a swear somewhere else,
Yeah.
or is
Like,
a
oh,
that's
bloody,
like the
true.
C word?
Yeah, like
Funny
bloody
to
or
me.
yeah, it is
Yes,
funny.
like the C word. The C word, yes,
C
which the
word, yeah.
Australians and New Zealanders use apparently as currency. And we were like, whoa,
Oh wow, I did not know. Love it.
Yeah. Oh no, we totally do. Yeah, I have to moderate myself all the time.
And I wish there was any way to just like introduce Russian into this in a way that would scare people the same way that certain Brits and New Zealanders would use the C word. All filler words in Russian are basically bad words. So.
Oh my God. I read somewhere about Russian. This is in a textbook years ago that it said if you're not a native speaker, do not use any Russian swear words because the severity of the actual obscenities in Russian are so much stronger than what you use in English that you are sure to offend people, perhaps extremely, and put yourself in danger. And I thought that might be a little extreme, but I don't know. Maybe it was right. I don't know.
Well, no, there's like in Dutch, there's like one of the strongest swear words that you can possibly use is godverdomme, and that's
Oh,
goddamn. And
yeah.
in English, goddamn isn't like it's like I stubbed my toe, goddamn. And it's nothing, but in Dutch, godverdomme is just oh, it's fuck basically. So.
It depends on where you are, because like in evangelical circles, that's goddamn is still real bad. My parents grew up not even be, like they weren't allowed to say geez because that's a shortening of Jesus, and that ain't
Yes.
okay.
See, to
Sure.
me, goddamn is not a big deal, but to my husband, it is. And he didn't grow up
Oh.
particularly evangelical. It just bothers him. I don't know quite why. And so I like I've had to excise it from my vocabulary, even though because it has multiple syllables, it's one of my favorites.
Wait, I think we transitioned an episode. I'm going to do the intro and we'll just continue talking. This is Pants in the Boot, already in progress. God damn it. And I'm your host, Glenn Fleischman. This is the podcast that says asterisk, asterisk, planet at sign, exclamation point. Joining me on this episode are Jean in Portland, Oregon, Annette in Edmonton, Canada, Erica in Edmonton, Canada, Saskia in Glasgow, Scotland, Shelley in Austin, Texas, Julia in Stockholm, Sweden, Sarah in Auckland, New Zealand. And as you already heard, we are talking about sort of euphemistic words or things that people don't say about swearing. So please proceed.
I was just going to say that, like, there's this wonderful swear word that we have in Dutch that is the direct English translation is scrotum, and it's
Please
just
say it,
it's this
please.
klotsak, and it's just got it's
Good word.
guttural, and
My new favorite word.
it's got like these wonderful harsh consonants going,
and again, multiple syllables. It's great.
Yeah, it's great, and it's like scrotum. Okay, that doesn't really work, but yeah, klotsak is just like you can
Right?
do it. When you, yeah, right.
The funny thing is, because I again don't speak Dutch, but I went to a school with a lot of Dutch kids. And we used to call it kleine bultjes, which is not, I don't even know if that's a Dutch swear, but it's probably like the Canadian Dutch kids putting together klein, which is small, and bultjes, which is like probably not even a Dutch word, but saying balls with a Z. And we'd be like, oh, kleine
Sounds
bultjes. Because
onomatopoetic
we
as
weren't
well,
allowed,
right?
yeah, we weren't allowed to use like religious swear words because we went to a Christian school. And so
Oh.
kleine bultjes was hilarious. And I don't think it's even like really Dutch.
And is it an insult to the per? Are you saying somebody has tiny balls? And is
Yeah,
that like the insult?
that
Okay.
is it is like,
Yeah.
or you just also just generally because it sounds funny.
Well, of course it
But
sounds
I'm
funny,
like,
but.
I'm sad we didn't know clodsuck because that's a great word too. We would have used
You would have
that.
been in so much trouble in it.
Yeah.
There's a problem too in America, which is that some people will say, so if I say scumbucket, Is that offensive to you or is that descriptive?
It's funny.
Because apparently, and I didn't realize this, it's funny. Okay, so I think somebody used it, I figured it was Bill Clinton or somebody used the word scum, and it was there was this uproar about it because in some parts of America it means literally like semen or like
I've never heard of that.
I've heard scumbag to be like a just a terrible person.
Which is not a swear, though.
Yeah, it's like testicles, though. And so for some parts of the country take it more literally, apparently, still. It still has that sense of, like, literally talking about, you know, male genitalia parts and outcomes. And other parts are just like, oh, no, you just say that person's a scum bucket, and it's less totally figurative. There's no, like, connection to a literal meaning.
Yeah, I've never – I'm not sure I've actually heard scum bucket before. I think I've only heard scumbag. But, yes, somebody just said scuzz bucket, and that I have heard.
Yeah, I've heard those, but not particularly offensive.
It's always so interesting because, you know, you have sort of the ground floor of this, which is, you know, the curse words and exclamations in different parts of the world depend on what you care about. Is it religion? Is it your mom? Is it your genitals? You know, that kind of thing. And then so the next level is, what do you say that sort of sounds like or feels like that? So, and some of them will still sort of stay in that region, whereas others are more like, does it start with the same sound? So like sugar, or, you know, and then you would, I don't know, call someone. My favorites are actually the weird conjoined words where neither of them are that bad. So like calling someone, I don't know, a douche canoe.
You know, like where you're how about like, dipweed?
Yeah, like
dipweed, which is also dickweed.
Or dickweed. Dickweed.
But I don't have any idea about the etymology.
Douche nozzle is one I've used.
Waffle is one that was great. Common in
Well, I mean, a douche nozzle is like that's not a weird compound.
I know, it's an actual thing, but in that same way, right? It's like douche nozzle is like douche canoe, but.
Yeah. But where douche canoe is not an actual part of the thing that you're
right,
talking about.
Understand.
Unless I've deeply misunderstood books.
It's a different brand that we are unaware of.
I'm just, you know. But it's
don't
just,
say
it's,
canoe
it's,
in Canada.
Like,
wait, what?
No, that's a joke.
Because
canoes
God.
Are just canoes.
Or are they?
I just feel like everything is an opportunity for another episode.
Yeah, we're going to.
But then you get things that are things where people are trying to not say a thing, but it sounds like it. So like jag off instead of jack off, or thing, or and I think also like dipweed is like those. People say dipweed instead of saying dickweed because you can't say that.
Interesting. Right? Or isn't it dick wad? Like I feel like half
different.
Of this episode is going to have to be like bleeped as we try to figure out.
I think that's what's going to make it interesting.
It's marked explicit.
Dillweed apparently came from Beavis and Butthead because they couldn't say dickweed. So Mike Judge invented dillweed. Then there's like jerkwad. Yeah. So you have dipwad and jerkwad.
Brack from Battlestar Galactica.
Brack was invented. That was Brack. Brilliant. Yeah.
I thought that was great.
Did they invent that for the show?
I don't know.
So they could swear.
Yeah.
They needed swearing, like hard swearing in Battlestar Galactica, and, you know, really needed an F word. And so they, as far as I know, like I'm not the expert on BSG, but I never heard the word frack before BSG.
Yeah, I think it was.
The Scots or Scottish and Irish variant is feck.
That's a good one.
There's no such feckin' thing as a feckin' flight for 50p.
Yeah, we do frickin' a lot here.
Yeah.
We do friggin'.
Yeah, friggin'. Yeah.
And freaking.
There was a message board I was part of where someone's username was Fectitars, like from Father Ted. But somebody realized after a few years, like they had been reading it as a very weird, reflexive Spanish word. So fectitarse, which for some reason is just even better. Somehow, like, go fectitar yourself.
Interestingly, having children growing up in the house, my wife and I are lenient about, you know, we believe in freedom of expression and all that. But we have also been like, how do we teach a child two children who have their own minds and we're avid readers. How do you use language in such a way that you develop an understanding of when it's contextually appropriate so that you're not offending other people, but then also you're not suppressing yourself because of sensibility? And that was an interesting thing to navigate. And so at some point we'd be like, oh, you know, and my older kid was actually very prudish and he would have an objection if the younger swore. And at some point we evolved to, we're just watching shows with our kids where they just say everything. And we're just like, it's fine. We've reached that point in their maturity and our maturity with it. But there was a point where you're like, well, we don't really want you to say the F word. because if you're on a bus and you say it, then you can, but if you're saying it among your stupid friends, that's okay. Y'all can do whatever you want together, but you know, don't say it out in public or I don't know.
So weirdly, this is just a personal thing. But to me, the only time I'm really offended, well, I don't know if it's the only time, but a time when I am really offended by language is if I'm sitting at a restaurant or a bar, and it's, especially if it's like outside, so people are talking a little more loudly and people are just dropping F-bombs right and left. And it's just like, do you know any other words? And people have had a few beers in them and just, you know, F in this and F in that. And it's I guess because I'm not offended, it's irritating to me.
Yeah.
I guess I'm offended if somebody says it to me personally, but I don't care about the word itself. It just feels lazy and angry. It feels angry. I guess that's what it is. I feel like, why are all these people so mad? And they're just drunk.
They're probably not.
What about if they vary it up? If they use a lot of different, you know, cursing to for filler, would that be more?
I appreciate that.
If they're more inventive. Yeah,
yeah. Laziness is what really irritates me. Just the idea that they're not clever about it.
That's how I grew up is, you know, inventive invectives is both in Russian and then also translated Russian idiomatic invectives into Swedish, which somehow made them both more hilarious and somehow more shocking because there's one that is how I can say this without getting completely canceled and not to completion F'd C, sometimes C of a cow is a we've lost Glenn. I'm sorry. I tried.
that's what happens when you let men on your show. You shock them. I'm sorry.
that's sensitive Russian constitution.
I'm sorry. I need my fainting couch, please.
Right. or a not finished F'd A of a cow or just an A. And like saying that in Russian is, I mean, it's harsh, but saying it in Swedish is again like it both really absurd and then you're like, oh, those are a lot of really bad words. I learned most of my really good Russian when my mom was driving. whereas in Swedish, both the cursing tends to be pretty like mild and like almost cute, and most of it has to do either with like religion or folklore. So you would have like, we will say devils is like our version of saying damn. Then because you couldn't say it, sort of like you couldn't say geez because, or you can't say Jesus. So you would say, it starts the same, but you would say like iron spikes or iron rails. So instead of javlar, you'd say jan spiker. And saying like iron nails, it's just, it sounds stupid. And I also wonder a little bit if it's
heavy metal.
It's sort of folklory because iron is what protects you from the fairy folk and like evil stuff. So you get like double things there. So we have a lot of things that sound the same to exchange for bad words, sort of sugar. That's the thing where I think they're also very popular because you start to say the thing and you have to catch yourself. So you go shin guards, that kind of thing, but in Swedish.
Fudge. Yes. Fudge sugar.
I think this is a thing in like Scotland and Ireland as well, where you don't use primarily like predator animals, this real sort of deep name, kind of like with, you know, cats have names. So you have names for certain animals like bears and wolves. And then you would use, after a while, you'd be like, well, they probably know this name now. So now you have nicknames for the safety names. And some of the names for big predator animals have been like lost to the ages. So we don't even know what the dangerous.
Yeah. Like nobody knows what a bear was originally called.
Yeah. Isn't it Indo-European that bear means basically brown because we were calling it brown, our ancestors? I like that. Now, of course, we have to put a warning on this podcast, not for language, but because we've mentioned the word bear and wolf.
But we haven't used their actual original names. But then in Swedish, you would talk about old gray legs because you didn't want to say wolf.
She said wolf.
I did, but that's not the one.
But is that because it's a curse word or is it a superstition? Like if you
say it's a superstition.
Wolf. You're calling the wolf to you, right? The predator.
Yeah, exactly.
Hurt you.
If you say it out loud. But that also means that sometimes you would also have, you know, like the sort of folklore or superstition-y words become curse words as well.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a really weird crossover. There's a Russian curse, which is very common. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it in Russian because it might be too explicit even for the English-speaking audience. But basically, it's a version of F your mother. But because the version of the sort of both declination and tense of the verb is used in a very ancient Slavic way, that means sort of your mother was my slave and or servant, and therefore I had the right to F her.
Oh my God.
Just in the short, like it's a one syllable version of the verb. And when Russian merchants in like the 1600s and 1700s came to Sweden, they thought it sounded like the Swedish phrase, feed the bears. So it became this weird thing of,
oh, wow.
They thought that that was like a rude thing to say because what they heard it sound like was feed the bears.
I didn't want everybody to think that like in Australia and New Zealand, when we say good C word, that they're a good C word. I don't know if I can say C word on this podcast.
Well, we're gonna put an explicit tag all over this episode.
Okay, good.
So open the plug.
Calling somebody a good
cunt. I shall not be saying the C word, just for reference.
Yeah, saying someone is a good cunt is something that you would say in colloquial company, but you probably wouldn't say it around your grandmother, and you probably wouldn't say that
even if she was a good cunt.
Would you use it like bitch?
Yeah, I was going to say, is it kind of like bitch would be?
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't say it on national television unless you were like, unless it was kind of part of a TV show or something like this. But then we also have like one thing we use quite frequently is it's buggered or bugger, which means something quite not nice.
Well, I learned that from my British mother-in-law because I would use bugger. Oh, bugger that. Because it's funny here and it's not used, like the context does not carry over, like wanker too, or like lots of British swear words, because they're not used here like that. You just see them on TV, and then my mother-in-law will be like, you can't say that stuff because it's much ruder.
So is the C word gendered though? Is it like bitch, is it mostly gendered?
No,
it's not. Interesting. It's to everybody. No, he's a good cunt or she is a good cunt. It's fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's Scotland the same. I mean, it's just not, you know, I don't have to say the C word if I'm in
the Swedish.
You're not required to fit in.
I mean, same thing, you know, you pick your audience, but you do not. But it's not nowhere near. I also remember the uproar in I think it was the first Avengers movie about Quim.
Quim.
I don't even remember that coming up.
That's English, yeah.
The average
That's,
American yeah, doesn't even yeah. know the definition.
Which is a word you know very well if you read historical romance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't it? It means sex, right? It's just. Or
no.
Sex. Or,
no.
No. Doesn't?
No,
okay.
No,
the same
no.
thing as the C word.
To the Google, excuse me.
It's
right.
The key word.
Oh, gotcha.
But
all right.
It was used in the Avengers movie?
Is Thor says it to.
No, Thor doesn't say it. Loki says it.
Sorry, yes. Yeah. Of course,
oh
yes.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
I don't remember that
yeah,
at all.
Yeah.
Wild.
And
censored for American audiences. I'm kidding.
Well, I think the point was that the American audience didn't understand.
Yeah, we don't know that word.
So that slipped under the radar.
I did know that word because I grew up with a bunch of nerds who watched a lot of British television and read a lot of British books. So that was occasionally used by my friends in a vulgar sort of way. So I knew it, but it wasn't common, I would say.
I did not hear it.
And I think the reason that I think of it as sex when it's not is that the way I've heard it said is get some Quim, well, right? So it could be.
All so, oh, right. Okay,
it could be the P
I
word.
To learn it too,
I think of it more closer to that than.
I don't, and I really hate the P word. I really do. It's just a personal thing. It's just icky.
No, I do
like
too.
It.
But you know, I didn't know the word, the Q word. As we're gonna have a whole alphabet of these,
right?
I didn't know the Q
the C
word
used to be spelled with a Q as well in some older versions.
Yeah.
The Swedish C word is actually an F word. And Swedish teenagers really like saying, well, originally it was just a word for dewy meadow. And it's like, yes, but nobody has used that for like 400 years. And then our version of the P word, funnily enough, because pussy is a cat, our P version word is moose, as in mouse, which makes both computer use and Disney very funny for Swedish for teenagers. Like it is the same word as the one that we would use for a rodent. So it's one of those like, oh, this is a sort of childish word that then has also become a little bit dirty because we use it for this. You know what I mean? Like you could say that, you know, here, pussy, but you would giggle as you say it, even though it was originally just like a roundabout way of saying things
Like beaver.
Like beaver. Beaver. Yeah, I'd say beaver.
I thought I'd finish out the episode with something I'd watched on a recent, there's a very, I want to say very benign game show on English television or UK television shot in Glasgow. So it's tough to say, you know, it's in Scotland, actually. It's Richard Osman's House of Games, and it's a very slow pace. It's like Jeopardy at 100 times slower, and it's very lovely and with celebrity guests, and it's very nice. But they did a question the other night, I was watching a rerun, and it was asking about a character from Dr. Strangelove, and the character's name was Merkin Muffley. And those in the know might remember that Merkin is a pubic hair wig, a very excellent obscure word. And I just thought, did they realize, maybe they don't know the word Merkin, but they have researchers, but Merkin Muffley, I know it was a great joke in Dr. Strangelove, I guess, but just putting it up on the screen and nobody having, having no reaction to that, the two words together was, I wasn't sure if they were just like trying to overlook that, but it did seem like an interesting choice.
It feels like something along the lines of, you know, octopussy, pussy galore. I want to hump a lot like that, where you're just like, yes, I acknowledge that this is technically funny, but it doesn't actually tickle anything.
No, but it's like innuendo, very, very, very vaguely disguised. I think that does tickle the funny bone for Brits.
I think that was the Ian Fleming thing. He said, I'm going to call her Pussy Galore. And his editor or publisher said, no, you're not. He said, yes, I am. And he did, because he got away with anything. Well, this has been another strikingly obscene
The P word episode. And the B word.
The P word and the B word and the F, C, and perhaps a whole alphabet of words of Pants of the Boot. I've been your host, Glenn Fleischman. Thank you to all the panelists. Thanks to Chris Breen for the theme music. If you've got suggestions for future episodes, write us at pants@theincomparable.com. And you can also find us at theincomparable.com, where you can find thousands of hours of other programming, including member special episodes. If you become a member, just go to theincomparable.com/members to find out more details about what you get if you help support this network of podcasts. Thanks very much, and we'll be back next time.
I want a special edition of that episode where just randomly every fourth word is bleeped and you have to try to make sense of it.
I don't know. I think the F, well, we don't need the C word, the P word and the Q word, but the M word and the Z word. It's like a pellet with the poison is in the flagging with the dragon.
Thank
you.